led us in understanding how to celebrate and to remember Martin Luther King Day. Beautiful description, great guidance. And I pray that we as the Hills Church be the light of the world as making this message known and clear and plain. How precious and how wonderful. As you are aware, those who are here last week, we began a series on the shepherd and the lamb. We began that series by looking at an ordinary day in the life of a lamb. I don't know for you, about you, but for me, that's a very precious way to walk through and live through this 23rd Psalm. To be able to use it, not just as a description of great truth, though it is, not just as a treasure chest of promises, use it as a marker, a reminder of moments in my life day by day. We also established that we have a fighter verse for this psalm. And that fighter verse is from John chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28. It's in this psalm that Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I give them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." Do you sense the rapid fire of these six statements that Jesus makes? I think it'd be helpful for us to know that there is a major statement, two major statements, and these two major statements are supported by two minor statements. And so maybe to help us in this fighter verse is to be able to see it in this structure. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And the second statement, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. This setting in John chapter 10, there is a verse that saddens our heart. But in the same sense that it saddens our heart, it is an invitation for us to open our hearts. It's in John chapter 10 and verse 6. Jesus is using this metaphor of a shepherd and the sheep that we find in Psalms 23, that we find in the testimony of Jacob. He is using this metaphor to say, I am the good shepherd. He is using it to describe the relationship that Jesus desires to have with each of us as his lambs. And so John 10 verse 6 says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Our prayer this morning is very simple, that God will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of him as our shepherd, that we will understand how we relate to him as lambs. So let's pray that as we look, they did not understand what he was saying in this metaphor, in this picture of the shepherd and the lamb. Let's pray that God opens our hearts to not only understand, but to experience the depth of this relationship. Will you pray with me? Father, it is our prayer that as we open our door to this psalm, Lord, you open our hearts. You give unto us the tender pictures that you are our shepherd and that we are your lambs. That, Lord, that we will understand, but Lord, more than understand, we will begin to make the connection. And that this relationship will forever be increasingly genuine and real and special in our hearts. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name and by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's our prayer as we come to look here at this psalm. And as I said, one of the great ways to use this psalm, more than just using it for teaching, is a great psalm for teaching, a great psalm to give unto us great doctrine and understanding about our relationship with the Lord, but is to see it as a pattern for our life every day. I want to review very quickly an ordinary day in the life of a lamb. An ordinary day begins, and it should begin at the very first point of our life, of our day, rather. We awaken, and may it be that the first thought upon our minds, first expression of our heart is, Lord, you are my shepherd. Lord, the day is before me. Lord, I trust you as my shepherd. I trust you to care for me. And Lord, I am content where I am. That's a mighty statement to be able to say. Think about it. You're in bed. You're getting up first thing in the morning, and you begin with that affirmation, Lord, you're in his presence. You're my shepherd. Lord, I make you my trust, and Lord, I am content. Well, that's the way the day begins. Ordinary day begins, but also we follow through that an ordinary day stresses. Now, this is not in the Psalms, but it is the reality. There are very few days that you and I wake up to that are easy days, right? Our days, in one degree or another, are filled with stress. This is kind of the untold part of this psalm, that our ordinary day is a day in which there is stress at very different levels. And it's with that in the background that it brings us to the next section of the next phase of our day. And that is that an ordinary day siestas. That is when you begin to see the stress in your life, the stress either pulls you apart or the stress then causes you to set yourself apart, to pull apart, to be in the very presence of the Lord. An ordinary day in which God begins to minister. Now, we got to begin with the fact that we are in a stressful state. I think it's important to understand how God deals with us. God doesn't just deal with us spiritually. God deals with us in every area of our life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, there is this request for God to sanctify us wholly. And then Paul describes our spirit, our soul, and our body. There is the reality that as we have seen that our day is a day of stress and we're called apart to siesta, we're called apart to rest, is that God ministers to every part of our being, physically, spiritually, emotionally. That is, he calls us apart to green pastures. He calls us apart to rest in him. It's important, I think, that we understand the picture from the nation of Israel as they are wandering in the wilderness and stress situation, adversity, disappointment, and all continues to pile and pile upon them. God's desire is that in the turmoil of their life in that day, he wants to give them what's called a Sabbath rest. And yet they refuse to believe, they refuse to trust. And so it says that God swears in his wrath that they will not enter his rest. God gives an invitation to us to enter into his rest. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest for your soul. He says he leads us beside the still waters. He leads us in those times when we bear testimony with Paul, when he says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, this is how I am. This is how I feel. He says, we are so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despair of life itself. And it's at that moment that God brings us beside the still waters. And in that place, beside the still waters, he gives us eternal life. He gives us refreshing water. He gives us new life. When we are despaired of life, he then pours life into our soul, the very life of Christ. And goes on to say, and he restores my soul. None of us desire to react to others out of our emotions. And yet we are emotional beings. And we need our emotions not to rule and reign, but we need the Spirit of Christ to rule and reign. And so he restores our soul so that the Spirit of Christ in us reigns. This is how the Lord ministers to his sheep. This siesta place is a beautiful place to be, drawn apart. And when you find yourself in that moment of rest, that moment of refreshing, that moment of restoration, we want to stay there. But just like Jesus said to Peter, James, and John when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, we're not going to stay here. We're going to go down in the valley because your life is to impact and to have an effect upon the lives of others. You are to be light. You are to be a vessel of mercy. You are to be a source of hope. And so we must leave that place of rest. And when we leave that place of rest, an ordinary day becomes a place of testing. Testing. That is, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's the first test. The first test is as you go out from that siesta place and you go into the world to interact, what's the ultimate motivation for things that are positive for you, or are you doing it for his name's sake? Goes on then for the second test. Then, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that is, the second test is, will I persevere? Will I finish the course? And so the lamb then perseveres and finishes the course. And then the third test, I will fear no evil. That is, I will have a vision that is not short term. In short term, bad things will happen. In short term, stresses will be present. But I look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because I see the end, and end is good and not evil. Well, those are very challenging places for us to live. And as the day comes to an end, it leads us to the next phase, and that is an ordinary day is refocused. Here's the reality of your day and my day. It's not that conflict, it's not problems have been resolved. Tommy and I pick on Hallmark movies a lot. But one of the things that you like about it is they always end with everything resolved. Well, your day and my day do not end with everything resolved. In fact, it is still very, very present. And so with that, then we must come to the point of refocusing. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is, my day has ended. Here's my problems. And here is the presence of the Lord. The invitation is to come to his table. To come to his table, you must believe what? That your God is greater than your problems. Not that the problems vanish or disappear, but it is critical that we spend time just in the presence of the Lord. And our problems and the anxiety of those in our heart can be at war with our spending time in God's presence. And we must make a choice to come apart and to be in God's presence. You anoint my head with oil. And will, in that, will your focus be on the source of your pain or the source of your comfort? Situations are painful. People are painful. Think about the difference. If you focus on the source of your pain, you're going to be bitter, unforgiving. You're going to be angry. You're going to be resentful. But if you focus on the source of your comfort, you're going to feel the gentleness of God as he pours that oil over your wounds. Makes all the difference in the world in how then that you respond to those. You're reflecting on the day. And if you reflect on the source of your problems, you know and I know where that will take you. And it says to the Lamb, no, I focus on the source of my comfort. Anoints my head with oil. And then my cup overflows. And here do I focus on my commission, or do I focus on my security, on my satisfaction? Think of the image for just a moment. My cup overflows. Is it your desire for your cup to be full, which would mean that your desire is that God fills you with blessings? Or is your desire that your cup overflows so that you will become blessings to others? This phrase ends with the fact that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My cup overflows not for my personal satisfaction. My cup overflows so that the trail that follows me is goodness and mercy all the days of my life. That's an important time to have. And then you come to the very end of your day, and an ordinary day chooses. You choose where you will sleep. I don't mean bed or what, but you choose whether you will sleep in your anxiety or whether you will sleep under the covering of God. You think of the story of Ruth, Naomi, when Boaz then makes comment upon her testimony. He says of Ruth, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That's her testimony. In the very stresses of her life, she has chosen to rest and to reside in the presence of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I go to sleep at night, trusting the shelter God gives me. My eyes close, sleep comes. And then when the morning comes, I awaken. And what's the first thought of my mind? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now, I share with you that day in a life of an ordinary lamb as a picture and as a way for us to view this psalm. In fact, I encourage you, as we are in this series, to make that a part of your walk and your daily relationship with the Lord. It's not the only way to do that, and we're not going to be in Psalms forever, but at least over the next several weeks as we're in that psalm, will you capture these images of a day in the life of a lamb? And will that then guide you in then just your relationship with the Lord as your shepherd? And then after we're through with the series, you can do whatever you want to do. Well, you'll do whatever you want to do anyway, right? But I do encourage you, and for us to do it together. We are a people that are scattered, and some are here, and some are watching online, and some are not able to get online. And so we're so divided. But can we then be united in our walk with the Lord through the picture of the shepherd and the lamb? Now, I told you this story in this way, not to give you a test to see where you are. I have told our story in this way because I want to then consider, how do I do it 27, 365? How do I do it all the days of my life? The thing that I want us to see is that what we are being asked to do is something that we cannot do. But I want us to understand that as Jesus tried to describe how one is saved, how one has a relationship with the Lord, it was never out of what that person can do, because he always led that person beyond what that person was able to do. And the purpose becomes so that he can prove that with me, with you, it is impossible. But that with God, all things are possible. We need to understand as we look at how to make this shepherd-lamb relationship a reality in our life, we need to understand that if you and I can do what is required of us, we have failed to fully realize what is required of us. I want us to understand that what we're talking about is something beyond our capability, but enough to give unto us a hunger and a thirst for that type of relationship. So how do we do it 24/7? 365. And we're going to look at this psalm, and we're going to look at it through what's called the grace, faith, connection. God in his plan has made that our relationship to him as a lamb towards a shepherd, our relationship in a daily walk in the life of a lamb, is dependent upon his grace, his work, his call, his spirit, and the way that you and I connect with that is through faith, the grace-faith connection. It's stated so clearly in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, where it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not that of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So we're going to look at this psalm, and we're going to say, all right, how do we bring that thought together of the grace-faith connection? And we're going to do that by focusing on the pronouns. If you were to count through in the ESV version, and I'm not sure about in other versions, but if you were to count through in Psalms 23 how many pronouns are used, you would come to a total of 28. Six verses, 28 pronouns, almost 5 pronouns for every verse. I think the focus of that is to let us know how relational this psalm is. We're going to focus in on just 2 of these pronouns, on the I and the he. Focus in on the I and the he. Look in Philippians 2, 12 through 14, and let's identify out of it the I and the he before we come to Psalms 23. Philippians 2, 12 through 14. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is that an I or a he? It's I. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Well, let's look at the I first. Let's work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at the 4 statements of the I's. I shall not want. I walk through. I fear no evil. I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The I statements. I shall not want. I shall make God my trust today. I shall be content. I will not covet. I start the day being content, being trusting, not coveting him and all that happens. I walk through. The scripture says, those who persevere to the end shall be saved. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've completed the race. I walk through the plans God has for my life. I will fear no evil. Not that I don't fear, not that I don't dread, not that there are not anxious moments that happen, but I have an eternal perspective in which good and not fear is the end. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I do not choose my circumstances, but I choose to dwell under the shelter, under covering, under the wings of the Lord. These are the I will. These are actions that are called, that the lambs are called to complete and called to do. But then we're reminded back in Philippians about the he part, where it says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so let's look at the 4 steps of what God does. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. We're going to look together, which is more powerful, the I or the he? He makes me. That is used to translate the Hebrew and to bring the point of emphasis that is there, that here is the lamb, but the ability for it to happen is dependent upon the shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me in right paths. That is, when we come to countless decisions of our lives and we realize this, every decision has a consequence, correct? And we come to a decision, do I go to the right, do I go to the left? And it says, the Lord, he leads me in the right decision. He leads me in the right path. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? Follow me in that path. He restores my soul. When I deal with the struggle of where I am emotionally, and I feel so dead on the inside, so hopeless on the inside, it is the power of the shepherd who will restore my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. When even life itself is dried up, he gives unto me living waters. Now let's look at these two sets, and we're going to come to a question of which of these is decisive. We got the he will or he makes, he does, and then we've got the I will, I shall. It is critically important that as we begin to try to apply this psalm, that we make a decision about which who is decisive in this relationship of the shepherd and of the lamb work. I was listening recently to a message, I believe it was by Adrian Rogers, and he was trying to describe this God's work, our work. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work within you. And how does that come together? And so he used an illustration of a rowboat. You know, you're in a rowboat, you're rowing. And so he says, if you have only one oar, and let's say that oar is grace, and that oar is the work of God, and you keep just pulling that one oar, then what's going to happen is you're going to go around and around and around in circles. But if you put that oar down and you take the oar of what you're to do as a lamb, and you begin to do that oar, and you begin to pull that oar, and as you're working harder, you're doing greater things, and again, you're going around in circles. But if you take hold of both oars, and you begin to pull them, and you begin to pull them together simultaneously, then you begin to go in a straight direction. Then he makes his point. He says there's only one thing wrong with that illustration, and that is you don't get to heaven in a rowboat. It is not the two together. There is one that is decisive. And the decisive work that makes us a lamb that flourishes in the pasture is God alone, God himself. It is faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, for the glory of God alone, by the authority of Scripture alone, that we are able to enter this relationship. It is critically important as we look at these phrases that we then see that he is decisive in it. So when I say, I shall not want, I will be content, I will not covet, I will trust, Isaiah says, God, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for it is the Lord God, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. When you say, I walk through and I complete the course and I don't give up and I don't stop, you hear the prayer in Colossians 1. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. When you come to the point and you begin to look at your life and you say, I will fear no evil. Certainly, it is not that our life is insulated from bad things happening, not insulated from strife, not insulated from tragedy in our life. These things come. but I will fear no evil. Why? Because we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, not what? Evil. We know all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among the brothers. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Back to our fighter verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Decisively, this day, an ordinary day in the life of a lamb, decisively, it is God alone. I do the I wills because God is at work in me to give me the desire and the ability to yield to the will of God and to become his workmanship. And he does it by conforming me to the image of Christ. And he does it through the powerful indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So we awaken tomorrow morning with Psalm 23 on our heart and on our mind. And everything within us says, I want to do it. I want to do it. I desire to do it. And then we realize that we do it because of the grace of God. And that every action of what we do is a work of faith. That is, its source is in faith and in our belief. Again, I encourage you, make this pattern of Psalms 23 that which you live with throughout your day while we're in this series. If you do it beyond that, that is wonderful. But as we do, and as you understand the uniqueness of that relationship, and you begin to look at those I wills and you say, I can't. Then you hear Jesus say, that's a great place to be. Because I want you to know that with you it is impossible. But I want you to know that with God all things are possible. When you come to the place in your life where you say, I can't. Jesus says, what took you so long to realize that if you're able to do what is required of you, that you have yet to fully realize what is required of you. And that beyond and deeper is what I desire to do in your life to bring these things to reality. It is all decisively God. And the ambition is those who are here and those who are watching and those who will then watch later online. The invitation of Jesus is, come to me. Come to me if you've never come to him before, he says. Come to me. Be my lamb. Let us see a daily relationship growing from day to day as a lamb with his shepherd. And then to every believer who is here, there is a deepening, deepening, deepening relationship with God that he desires for us to have. Psalms 23 is a beautiful way to be reminded in our day as we begin, to be reminded when the stress begins to mount, to hear the call, pull apart, be with me for a time of refreshing, and then a commission to go out and to minister in your world. And then when you have completed the day, come back to me. Because I want to prepare a banquet before you, and I want to fellowship with you. I want you to know my presence greater than your problems. I want you to know my comfort and not focus on the source of your pain. And I want you to know I have a purpose and a calling on your life. And it goes far beyond making your life full. It is a calling to where your life will be spent out, poured out for the benefit of others. And then before your eyelids close, or as you lay in the bed, eyelids closed, waiting for that moment when sleep comes, let the thought of the security that you are abiding under the wings of God bring rest, keep you till the morning dawn comes and your first thought, the Lord is my shepherd. Father, we just pray that you will take this figure of speech that Jesus used in John chapter 10, that your Spirit made so clear to David 3 millennia ago. And that, Lord, through the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, make it not a story that we just tell, but a life that we live. And may every word of that psalm become a testimony of our life. For we ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, amen.